Now, tell me about this other woman who finally came in then.
She had hired in at Lockheed the same time I had. But let's see, she came in about 1959, I think. Maybe, I know I was on salary when she came in. They were hiring people. But I found out later she had put in, she'd been out in the shop a long time, and she had put in grievances to get promoted. And because they had, what they did when those women wanted a promotion, they'd look around and see what kind of a job already had a woman. And my boss said that he got so, if a woman wanted to come in, he wanted a woman that had worked in the shop. Because he said, I had worked out well, because I had worked in the shop. Well, she did all right. She didn't get on salary for a long time, though, because, I don't know. She could break down the prints and check the illustrations, but I better not say anymore.
Now, when was it that she came in?
I think she came in about 1959.
Oh,
transferred into our department from out in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been working on the constellations for years and years and years, so they put her on the Connies. But she kind of had trouble making a transition to other models. However, she did a good job, and she got on salary then. Oh, I've forgotten what year. I think that was in 71.
It was like 12 years, though.
Yeah, I think it was about that long. But at that time, they were putting so many of them on salary in the commercial that they decided to make more of them, put more of them on salary. But, of course, by that time, I was salary 3, and she was salary 1. But I think now she is salary grade 5 now. And she... but she had trouble with her estimates. She didn't have the confidence to do those estimates. The work, as far as working on the books, she was good at that. But I know even when I left, she still had problems with the estimates.
Now, what was your relationship like with her?
Well, we were friendly, but of course she lived over in Hollywood, and I lived in Glendale. I remember one time she told me about a meeting that was, there was a program where, someone was going to talk about, down in Mexico, it was before I went, down there, I wish I could think, down by Uxmal and down there. And so I went over and picked her up, and we went to that program, and we did go to some things outside. Of course, at that time, she was married, and so it wasn't until after she was divorced that we really went to anything outside. But I remember we went to that, and we got along fine, except she was always on a different model than I was, and she was usually on the... she was on the constellations and then the P3. Excuse me just a minute.
Would you and she eat lunch together?
We did for quite a long time, yes. And we ate with the other Stenhouse. Let's see, there were two of them. The third one often went out to lunch in that group, it wasn't the supervisor's fault, but the Steno changed so often. Mm-hmm. And but those two... Margaret and Anne stayed for such a long time, and so the four of us used to eat lunch together, and Jan and I used to often take a walk at noon. She liked to walk, and I liked to walk, and we did that. So, we got along all right.
Now, did, what sort of, is this not smoking?
I don't know. She was not on salary yet, but that didn't make any difference. he used to take that walk with him. Well, there shouldn't be smoke. Maybe nobody in there has been smoking.
I'm always very sensitive because we live in such a high fire area too.
Sure.
How much turnover was there in the in your department over the years, say from the time you were salaried to when you retired?
There was quite a bit. Fellows would come in there, and we said once we were just running a training school, and I remember one time several of the fellows left to go down to Hughes. And I know, of course, that was a time when Lockheed didn't have so many contracts. And it was a time when Hughes had got this big contract. Of course, later they said that was because of Nixon's brother, but be that as it may, several of the fellows that I had, that had worked with me. So I remember when we were going, it looked like, people might be laid off or something. And I said, well, maybe I could go to Hughes. I helped train several of the supervisors down there, because these fellows would go to other places and get good jobs. It just seemed, it wasn't that there was anything wrong with Lockheed, but it was easy to hire in there. And Lockheed couldn't make everybody a chief. And then, of course, every once in a while, we wouldn't have so many contracts. And when you don't have contracts, if things aren't building up, you can't promote people very much. And some of them would get dissatisfied because they weren't promoted fast enough. And some of them transferred out. Of course, I remember one fella came in and worked a while, and then he got a salary job over in purchasing. But I think he had worked in purchasing once before at Lockheed and had quit and had come back. So some of them transferred out, and of course, some of the ones that were pretty good got to go to contracts, or they'd get a job on the change board. I never got any of those, but that was all right. But there was quite a turnover.
So there was real upward mobility, it sounds like, among
men. Yes. Yes, several of them did move up. Lockheed was a good place to work. And as a matter of fact, one of the vice presidents, he's in charge of what, all military or something. He gets written up in the Star every once in a while. He was in our group a long time ago. I sat back to back with him. And he used to come over to our building once or twice a year, and as he walked through, if there were any of us he knew, he never was snobbish. He always spoke and seemed like he was glad. And then I remember there was another fella, got a very good promotion. Of course, he, they said later on that he had known somebody that was at the corporate level when he came in. But generally, and I say generally because I'm sure there were some exceptions, people hired in at Lockheed, they had to hire in and then move up. There didn't seem to be much, except at the corporate level, maybe, of hiring them in way up the ladder. Generally, Lockheed seemed to promote from the ranks.
Now, you mentioned before, in reference to this Lockheed life on the Lockheed to get executive women, that it wasn't until affirmative action programs came in that you felt things really began to change.
That's
for the women.
That's right. Yes. There was a because. I was told, now I don't know, you may have to delete this from the tape, I was told that the Navy threatened to withhold Lockheed's progress payments if they didn't promote more women. But I'll say this, in all fairness, that because of the nature of the, of the business, there were a lot of women that really didn't have the experience to do that. Now, in some of the departments, the more clerical departments, and even in their data processing, they had some women had good jobs. But when this affirmative action came, then they made some women, one or two women in the shop, supervisors, mm-hmm. And then they they made some women supervisors in our division. The summer before I retired, they promoted a couple of women to supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed to be up until then, though. Now of course there'd been this Laura Wood that was there during the war. She was a contract administrator, a top administrator, and Helen Needles had been department manager over the records section. And when she retired, they put a black in mm-hmm. as department manager there. So there was. Well, this started in the 70s, maybe a little before affirmative action, but they were beginning mm-hmm. to get the word. And there was a woman made supervisor in illustration, and I know some of the men were awfully disappointed in that. But my dealings with her, she was very capable, mm-hmm. and probably more capable than some of the men, not necessarily than all of them. But she seemed to be a pretty good executive, and I liked her. I thought she did a very good job.
So it's not really until the late 60s that you feel there was much of a change in terms of
More like
women
the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
More like the 70s that there were very many women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you before that about 1960 they put out this star that said 5% of the women at Lockheed were on salary. But I think they've put out a new figure on that now. And of course there are a great mm-hmm. many more. They've promoted them. But I would say it came in the I began to notice it about 1970.
Now how did your own department change over the years in terms of the composition of it?
Well, of course, things became more, for instance, when we first started, our technical manuals had been done by offset printing. When I left, all but these small manuals, all of the big aircraft manuals were done by data processing. So there had been, but in between that, they had been done on Verotypers. That the women did. I think maybe I told you that. Then the prints, the planes themselves were becoming more sophisticated. We had all these systems and all these electronic devices on the planes that hadn't been on back when I started in. So things just mm-hmm. became more sophisticated. It was sort of gradual, mm-hmm. though. It didn't happen overnight.
Did you along the way have to take any special in-service training or programs like that as things began to change?
Well, I did take a couple. I didn't have to. I remember taking one when they changed the, I think that was when the P3, a lot of us took that. It seems like my supervisor, they gave this training. We had to take it on our own time after Yes, I had very, I'd say no training at all on company time. Maybe once in a while a meeting or something. Oh, one time we went for 2 hours and they showed us a film on stock numbers. But by that time, I knew most of what they. Then, let's see, there was some kind of a course on management that started at, I think it started at, quarter after four or something like that. I think it started at 4 to accommodate the 3:30 and lasted till 5:30 or something. Anyway, they let me go to that and I got paid just the same. But that was, I can't remember exactly what the time was, but that was half on company time.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't last very long. Then we did have, when they were going to have, the F3, they had some training courses on that over at Field Service, and my boss and several of us took that course. Because that's one thing. This immediate supervisor was all he took a lot of training outside, and of course he got a lot on mm-hmm. company time too. But he always liked to keep on top of everything, and he recommended that we take that. And we had just finished that when I had to have my surgery, because they discovered I had the beginning of cancer. And that was in 72, so we had taken this course, the fall of 71, and we had taken that on our own time over this. From time to time, mm-hmm. I did take mm-hmm. Some, but not very much. Then I remember one time, several of them took a technical writing course out at Valley College, I think it was. But I didn't take that because when I read the description of the courses, it seemed like I knew that, and as they came in and reported on what they were having, as a matter of fact, there was one time that I was thinking of seeing if Glendale College would let me teach a night course on this tech writing, but I was busy and I didn't get any encouragement. I remember talking to my boss about it, and he said, "Oh, Frieda, if you want to teach something, why don't you teach knitting?"
Oh.
And it would have required, I would have had to set up the course and a lot, and I don't know, I probably went on a trip or something. That I didn't pursue it, but I had thought of it. But I did not take this course when so many of them did, because from what they had, it was things that I had mm-hmm. already picked up on the job. I had a lot of on the job.
But you didn't ever feel the need, or were not so subtly encouraged to take additional technical kinds of courses?
Not too much. Once in a while, if our boss encouraged us to, mm-hmm. I did. And then I remember they had a course, I can't think of the name of the woman that gave it. Now, this was just about 74. I think it cost $10, and we got lunch, and she gave it. It was down here at Pickwick, it seems to me. And several of us went, including this other woman. Of course, I met her. And then there was a salaried woman from Veritech. We all went to that. And also, there was this salaried woman from engineering, whom I had gotten acquainted with at a time when she worked on the engineering manuals when I had to coordinate. And I remember, but my boss had said maybe I ought to take that because that was something about preparing women for management. And I remember that woman was very good. Now, of course, a lot of the things she told us, I already knew. I had picked them up places, but I thought it was very good. I remember her telling the women that if they wanted to have these better positions, they couldn't spend all their time in lying on the cot every time they had a period. So she said, get yourself fixed or take what in the world? that was right. I mean, some of the women that may have been passed over spent an awful lot of time every time they had their period. I never did much of that because there again, I figured too that if women were going to have those jobs, they ought to be out. They couldn't spend all afternoon. I agreed with her, lying in on the couch. I remember at a time when I had a lot of sick leave stored up, and that's when I was still going to school, that if I had kind of a bad period, I'd take a sick day. But I didn't do that very mm-hmm. often.
Well, you mentioned feeling that it was important when you went through menopause that nothing interfere with your work.
Yeah, that was later. That's right. I didn't want everybody saying, "Oh, she's cranky." Oh, well, you know, she's going through the change. So I tried to avoid that. as far as I know, I did. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you never know what people are saying that you don't overhear.
Now, in terms of your department, by, say, the late 60s, early 70s, except for this one other woman who just about that time was becoming salaried, yeah. Did any other women come into the department?
No, there were some that were interviewed. but they couldn't read blueprints. And of course, the reason they had come, they knew there were already two women in that department. And I remember one fellow talking to me one day. Now, he was in another department, and his girlfriend wanted to get into something better, and he was asking me about the job, and I told him, but I did stress the importance of her having to read blueprints, and that because there's no point in giving anybody false hopes.
Mm-hmm.
She never came for an interview, as far as I know. And yes, every once in a while, a woman would come. And I think one of them kind of raised a fuss. It seems to me she went back to personnel and complained. And that the supervisor had to call and tell, when personnel called him, tell him she could not read blueprints, and she better go take some blueprint reading. Well, of course, a lot of them didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I left, there were still just the two of us doing this work. Now,
was she also a lead?
No, she wasn't.
So you were the only woman lead.
At that time, yes. She was on salary, but, she never made very many estimates, as I say. I don't want to run her down, because she was good, but even the fellow said she had trouble. And I know she did have trouble with making estimates. I don't know, she didn't seem to have the confidence to think this is it. She was always afraid after she got it done that maybe she'd overlooked something.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Now, it's purely my opinion. But she wasn't. And so I understand now. I talked with her on the phone one day, and she said she'd been made salary grade 5. And of course, they have a different supervisor. My supervisor retired in 75, and we had a new supervisor for a while. And he retired last January, and they got a new supervisor, but he took early retirement. Maybe this shouldn't be on there, but I understand that the work got so far behind that. You know, anyway, they brought in another fellow. Actually, that's the fellow that I think should have been made supervisor at the time, the one of long standing, retired. But, that was up to the people in the higher brackets.
Tell me, during the 60s, I guess it was mid to late 60s, that the massive layoffs in aerospace among engineers occurred, what kind of effect did that have on your department and attitudes about you and women and minorities? Do you recall?
I don't recall that there was any. Now, that was when, though, a lot of engineers did take a downgrading, I assume, to the manuals. That's when I met this woman that she was working on manuals, and I think she did for about a year and a half or maybe a little longer, and then she got went back to engineering. And then there's a fellow just lives up the street. I rode with him for a while. That was just before I retired, the last few years. He was an engineer, but he was working on the flight manuals. And, of course, I take a walk every morning, and once in a while I see him when he's going to work, and I'm walking up in the park. And he told me one morning he was back in engineering now. So I think that that's when he got put on the manuals, that some of the engineers took what they considered a downgrade in order to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But since these manuals were done in the engineering division, or branch, I guess it was, they could take that, because the manuals at that time were still going pretty strong, even though the engineers were. Because one reason some of the engineers were laid off was because we lost the SST.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them had worked on that, you see. And then also the contract on the helicopter, the H-56, was canceled. So a lot of engineers were laid off. But at that time, during all that time, the manuals were busy. We had a lot. I don't recall that we ever noticed a very bleak period at that time.
And none of these people came into your department?
None of the engineers, no. Mm-hmm. No. But they did go into that other. I know of those two cases, and I think there were others because some of those other flight manual fellows, not long before I retired or soon after, went back to engineering.
Oh, I see.
Because the manuals are no longer in engineering, though. They are all under product support now. And so I kind of think that's where they had come from.
Did you stay, you stayed within the union. Did you continue to go to meetings and functions over the years?
Well, it got so we rarely had anything except at a negotiation time. But now I remember they had a meeting soon after we lost the SST. And when they were going to start on the L-1011, there again, that was a bean dinner. And I went to that because that was right after work. And, of course, I had my own car. But if, a bunch of, I would usually sit with the fellas. Now, this Jan in the department, I don't recall that she ever went to any of those. She didn't go with me, and I don't recall even meeting her there. She had her own car. But when I got there, see, these a lot of the engineers would bring their wives. And here was this one engineer was giving the presentation that night, and he had brought his wife, and they had been on the same LERC trip with me to Europe back in 1962. So I got over there, and there she was, and we were glad to see each other. So I sat with her that night. First, I didn't know. I asked her if she wanted to save a place for her husband. She said, "Oh no, he's wanting." That I found out he was the one that he gave quite a presentation. Mm-hmm. I guess that's why she had come. But there again, she was, I remember she didn't tell me that he was going to do all that, and she knew it, but she said something. I don't know if that was exactly it, but that was the implication.
It seems like it was very often awkward for you, though, as a single woman going to those kinds of functions?
Well, not exactly. Not anything that was right after work, because there would be enough of the fellows go, but usually some of them got over early, and when I came in, they'd be sitting around tables while they'd say, "Here, Frieda." Mm. No, they were very nice about that. Now, I didn't have much to do in late evening or weekends with them. But if it was anything that was after work, it wasn't really awkward because by that time, there was a time when I rode to work with a fella who, he was hourly, but he liked to go to those bean dinners. So that made it easy. Mm. You know, we'd go to the bean dinner and I was riding with him. But later on, anything that happened right after work was... Mm.